Commissioner, we... Ladies and gentlemen, take your seats, commissioners, staff. Ladies and gentlemen, we will bow our heads, please. Lord, thank you for allowing us to have this great country and to allow us to discuss different views on complex situations and to allow us to discuss these views in an order of calm and decorum. Help us to have the good judgment to make the right decision here today. Amen.
Amen.
You rise to the pledge and give by Chief Sidney Klein. Ladies and gentlemen, we have heard a great deal of testimony in the past 4 days concerning the Church of Scientology. The city has presented us witnesses, and as by the rules established earlier, we will now give the Church of Scientology the same opportunity that the city was given. Is Mr. Johnson, if you are here, sir, you will have 45 minutes, same as Mr. Flynn, for an opening statement, and then you may present your witnesses.
Mayor, members of the City Commission of the City of Clearwater. I'm Paul Johnson. I represent in these proceedings the Church of Scientology. With me is my law partner, J. Michael Hayes, who also together with me represents the church in these proceedings. I'm now about to make an opening statement, which as you will recall, I had requested I be permitted to make prior to the receiving of testimony in these proceedings. You'll also recall that since shortly after I was retained by the Church of Scientology to assist him and to advise him legally concerning these pleadings or these proceedings, that I have attempted to make a presentation to this City Commission beginning with April the 8th, but I have been unable to do so until this time. Unfortunately, some of the things that I'm going to say now are moot because they would have been more appropriate at the time I sought to say them back in early April, and certainly no later than May the 5th. But I think it's necessary that I say them because I'm being afforded the opportunity to say them, and I think it would be instructive. I think it would be material for your further consideration as you go into phase three, as I understand phase three to be described in the letter from Mr. Flynn and in Mr. Flynn's preliminary report. Much of what I had hoped to say comes too late to be of assistance to you. But I don't consider it moot because it has a direct relationship upon what is about to transpire here. So with your indulgence, I will say what I had hoped to say a month ago. First of all, I was concerned about the legal propriety and concerned about the fairness of your using as a consultant attorney a gentleman who has a personal financial interest in some 27 lawsuits by his own admission and has a close relationship with a number of other lawsuits which have been filed against the Church of Scientology. Although I have not been present during these proceedings, I have, with the modern miracle of videotape, I have seen what you all have seen, perhaps without having to spend the day over here in these chambers, as you have had to do. And so I have, all the testimony has been presented to you, I have observed, and I've observed the manner in which it's presented. And I have observed Mr. Flynn seated in the same position Mr. Hayes is in, time after time, have whispered conferences with witnesses, apparently instructing witnesses or discussing things with them that were not on the record because they were not on my record of my court reporter. And as I viewed the videotape, the microphone was turned away when he spoke to the witness. And I was not privy to what he was saying. I have, in my years of practicing law, which have been many, I have practiced in about every type of forum that's known to this country, legislative, administrative, judicial. I don't recall ever having seen an attorney for an investigative body so deal with a witness. I've seen attorneys for witnesses who are compelled to appear before investigative bodies who did not wish to testify, confer privately with counsel at the table, but I've never seen an attorney for an investigative body do that. And so I had wanted to express to you, and I will not take the time to express all my concerns, the propriety of having an individual who, by his own admission, has a personal financial interest in a number of lawsuits against the church. A man who was permitted by your rules of procedure in this matter to select what witnesses would be presented, to select what they would testify about, to select what documentary evidence was presented. I felt that it lacked the objectivity that you would expect in any fact-finding inquiry where the person who presents the evidence to the fact-finders must have at least a lack of conflict of interest. There's a great deal of law on that subject. I will not burden you with that at this time because it's too late to talk about that. It's been done. Next, I was concerned about the failure of your rules promulgated to permit cross-examination of the witnesses that Mr. Flynn handpicked and presented to you. The reason I was concerned about the failure of cross-examination is that all of us that labor in the temple of justice know that cross-examination has been described time and time again by the leading experts in the field of law and in how evidence is to be viewed. It's been called the searchlight of truth because only through cross-examination in an objective fashion and not what I have described as sweetheart type questions, which I fear was the nature of the questions propounded to these witnesses. Cross-examination done objectively and incisively can reach to the very reliability and to the heart of the witness's testimony in order to determine if this witness really knows what he's talking about and how he knew it and the circumstances under which he observed it and his interests or his bias or any other things that goes to help the trier of fact in determining how to receive any testimony that's presented. And since the testimony was selected, handpicked by a person who has a lack of objectivity concerning the church, I felt all the more in this case cross-examination should be helpful. Now I can perhaps, although I don't agree, I can perhaps understand that you would not want me to cross-examine the witnesses. You all don't know me. I hope my reputation is such that I have never been accused of being one who tries to obstruct proceedings. I hope my reputation is such I have never used improper tactics or I have never abused witnesses. And those of you who know me know that that is not my reputation, that I try to follow the rules. However, if you didn't want me to cross-examine these witnesses, I had proposed, when I had asked to appear before you beginning in April, that you seek an individual in the nature of an ombudsman from the local bar association to be selected by the bar who would not take an interest either way, except he would be skilled in arriving at truth and veracity of witnesses, and he would ask questions designed to bring out the details and the fact of the witness's testimony. This is what I had hoped to present to you had I been allowed to talk to you. But then again, on the other hand, you may say that, well, cross-examination would delay these proceedings. Well, you have set aside 4 days for the Church of Scientology to present evidence if they choose, or if I choose, because the decision is going to be mine, because that is my function as a lawyer. And I will relate that decision to you soon. I will guarantee you that had you permitted cross-examination even by me and not by an ombudsman, it would not have taken more than a day or a day and a half more to have raised certain points that I would have raised on cross-examination, which would have been great help to you in evaluating and considering the effect, impact, and reliability of the testimony you have received. So time obviously was not the problem, and this is what I had proposed to present to you. There's many examples I can give you of the effectiveness of cross-examination. I will just give some examples. As I viewed the video of Linda Van Schaick, as she broke down and cried about the death of her brother-in-law, David. It was a very dramatic event. It was covered on all the news media. Had great effect upon you and all those listening here. But it would have been perhaps helpful to you in evaluating whether her inference that the Church of Scientology was somehow related to the death of her brother-in-law, whether or not he had been under psychiatric treatment prior to coming into the church, how long he had been out of the church, how many other occasions he had attempted suicide. All these matters would have been very helpful to have asked on cross-examination to view her testimony. As you present the testimony of Mr. Meister concerning the tragedy 11 years ago in Morocco, many thousands of miles away from here, in which he indicated to you that, and this was a clear indication, that the Church of Scientology was somehow involved with the death of his daughter, it would have been very helpful to you to have an ombudsman, or perhaps me, to cross-examine him and ask about what her background was concerning the use of drugs, concerning whether or not she had been under psychiatric treatment prior to entering the Church of Scientology, whether she was concerned about matters that was going on in his home in the United States, and whether she had received information about a marital problem between he and her mother, and whether or not that contributed or could have contributed to her death. These are the sort of things, and this is such a, and I hesitate to mention this, except it has such a dramatic impact upon the news media. And the Church of Scientology has been embarrassed and scandalized throughout the United States because we've had national coverage by, I know at least, CBS, NBC, UPI, AP. And these sort of things have been disseminated throughout the length and breadth of this country. And it's been disseminated as though in the eyes of the reading public and the viewing public and the listening public, that the Church of Scientology is somehow causing people to be killed or to take their lives without any attempt to go into the circumstances surrounding this, which cross-examination would have been very helpful to you in evaluating it. It would have been very helpful when Mr. DeWolf, who the former L. Ron Hubbard, testified, a gentleman who has been out of the church since 1959, they have been very happy for whoever was examining him to read from a videotape interview, which fortunately for the church, Channel 10 ran last night, in which he recanted his testimony against the Church of Scientology, which he gave under oath in the IRS case, in which he admitted in a videotape that he had lied under oath. Fortunately for us, Channel 10 did run that. But I certainly, whoever had examined him on cross-examination in the brief time allowed, would have certainly asked him questions about and perhaps shown him on a monitor his own figure, his own voice, speaking these words, and have asked how that fits into his present testimony. Whoever examined him would have asked him about his knowledge of the veracity of Paulette Cooper, which fortunately, again, for the church, a very enterprising reporter from the St. Petersburg Times was able to determine and find out that both Mrs. Cooper and Mr. DeWolf stated publicly that neither of the others could be believed under oath. This would have been very helpful to have been brought under cross-examination. Fortunately for the church, there was a very aggressive reporter who did ferret this out. But none of this would have come out in the hearings if it had not been for the news media. These are Mr. Meyer. Well, I won't go on further. Mr. Meyer, for example, who suggested that the city of Clearwater was the center of illegal activities, such as was suggested in the preliminary remarks by His Honor the Mayor. It would have been helpful to have asked us how much time he'd been in Clearwater, who he talked to here in Clearwater, and how he could justify those statements, and also to ask him were it not true that he was a paid consultant for the IRS and the IRS litigation, and that he sat at the council table during the trial of the IRS versus Scientology as though he were a party in that case. That would have been helpful for you to know that. And that's the sort of questions that would have been asked on cross-examination. So I could go on and on. I won't take up your time and burden you, but these are just illustrative of the lack of validity these proceedings have when you allow an individual who has an admitted financial adverse interest to select and choose and to guide the witnesses in their testimony without any objective, incisive examination of the witness. And the only questions are questions which I have characterized earlier as sweetheart-type questions from the commission. Next, I had wanted in my preliminary remarks to address this commission concerning my concerns about the jurisdiction of the City of Clearwater Commission and urge you to limit your inquiry and to establish rules that would limit your inquiry to matters under which you have jurisdiction. When I say jurisdiction, I'm using the term, I guess, broadly. When I say jurisdiction as a subject matter, when I say jurisdiction as to territorial jurisdiction, that means within the Senate limits of the City of Clearwater. That does not mean Morocco. That does not mean Las Vegas. That does not mean Boston. That does not mean all these other areas we've heard about to such extent that's been broadcast and telecast and written about throughout the length and breadth of this country about the Church of Scientology, which has no relationship whatsoever to matters within the city limits of Clearwater. So I would have liked to have discussed with you guidelines which I would have going to propose that you enact in order to conduct these hearings so they would be meaningful and not be suspect. For example, I have here what was described in a document which His Honor the Mayor filed as the 7 areas of municipal concern that you are going to go into. And I have those areas here, which I felt, had I been allowed to speak to you in my pre-proceeding opening statement, perhaps I would have urged you, and perhaps you would have listened to me as to whether these are really legitimate matters of municipal concern or whether they're a matter of concern to other people who have axes to grind against the Church of Scientology. The first item of municipal concern, which is contained in the presentation of the mayor, and which has been filed and publicly, and which was a memorandum to the press from the city manager dated May the 3rd, 1982, subject guidelines, a copy of which I have obtained. So as the first item of vital public interest and municipal concern was the utilization of the city of Clearwater as a base to conduct and perpetuate wholesale violations of state and federal criminal laws, including larceny, breaking and entering, robbery, perjury, conspiracy, kidnapping, extortion, blackmail, which is evidenced in the consultant's report. Perhaps matters were testified to which I did not see in the video, but I am not aware that there was any support of such a broad statement. And if there is support of such a broad statement, well, you have a very effective and a fearless state attorney in this county, James Russell, who has never hesitated to take on the great public officials. His reputation is above reproach. If such crimes are in existence, is it not the sort of thing that Mr. Russell could handle much more effectively than you, because you don't have jurisdiction to prosecute or to have your city attorney prosecute for robbery, perjury, conspiracy, kidnapping, blackmail, extortion? That's a matter completely out of your jurisdiction and is completely foreign to any appropriate investigation which you might make. And I was going to suggest to you that you not be drawn into such a matter. The next item of municipal concern, which you have in your memorandum, which I wanted to speak to before you started these proceedings, was the perpetration of fraud through uniform, secular, non-religious, oral misrepresentation to require people to pay money, etc. If there's a fraud, this is either a crime of which your state attorney has jurisdiction and not you, or of which Mr. Flynn is handling, if it's a civil matter, fraud he's handling so ably through the 27 lawsuits which have been pending throughout the country that he has filed and many others, including the one which was just reversed in Portland, Oregon, by the Supreme Court out there in that far western state. So all these matters can be handled either through your appropriate prosecuting officials or through the courts where they're now being litigated by Mr. Flynn and others. Your next item of municipal concern was the utilization of charitable tax-exempt status to conduct non-religious, non-charitable activities in your city without accountability to your proper taxing authority. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the City Commission, as you well know, there is litigation going on at this very moment in this county. I say, I know it because I am the attorney in that litigation. I was brought in that case last October. You know it because you wrote a letter and passed a resolution in which you offered to become a part of that litigation, to take the city of Clearwater would take a part of that litigation. And you passed a resolution offering any help to the tax collector and the tax or property appraiser. So that's a matter that you already know. And by your own prior action, by this board in official session meeting, you have gone on record as wanting to enter that lawsuit and support the people who are representing the county. So that's not a matter to be heard by the City Commission, because we have a court. We have a very able judge before who that case is now pending, Judge B.J. Driver, a judge who's well recognized for his legal acumen and ability, and that's to be tried under proper legal rules and procedures, and would not be tried in this type of proceeding before you. Your next item was the unlicensed practice of medicine. It would have been also interesting to have been able to cross-examine some of the witnesses about whether they had seen doctors and what doctors they had seen, and suggest names of doctors that they had seen, but that time has passed. But if there is unlicensed practice of medicine, that again is a matter for the state attorney and not for this council, because it's a crime. It's a felony. Next, your item of municipal concern that you alleged that I wanted to talk to you about before you got into these hearings was the implementation of policies causing for flagrant physical and psychological abuse. Here again, if it's physical, it's the state attorney has jurisdiction. If it's psychological, Mr. Flynn's 27 lawsuits and the other suits will take care of that. The only testimony I recall about that was Mr. Ray, the young man. I would have liked to have cross-examined him as to whether he was accused of stealing from the Church of Scientology and whether or not he signed a statement admitting having stolen from him. I'd like to cross-examine him as to whether he was under the influence of drugs and admitted to the use of drugs, contrary to the Scientology policy. I'd like to cross-examine him. I'd like to have shown him some affidavits which he has signed admitting to theft and admitting to the use of drugs. But here again, these are matters for the state attorney, not matters for you, or matters for the lawsuits which are now pending. Next, I would like to talk to you about your matter of municipal concern of the minimum educational standards. Pinellas County has one of the finest boards of public instruction and superintendent of public instruction in the state of Florida. Here again, they are far better able to determine what is appropriate educational standards. We also have laws requiring children to be educated, and if those laws are violated, the appropriate authorities, not city proceedings, that can handle that. And finally, number seven is the only area that I see that might possibly have had some municipal concern, and that was the allegations in Mr. Flynn's report of overcrowded, insect-infested conditions in Scientology-owned buildings. And here again, it would be very helpful to have examined very carefully the young ladies and the young man who testified about that. This is particularly so as I was driving over here from Tampa. I always try to listen to Paul Harvey on 8:30 broadcast. And Paul Harvey stated this morning that roaches had been with us since before the dinosaurs. And he was propounding some type of matter that would help control roaches. I've lived in Florida all my life. I've seen roaches all my life. I don't think I live in a hovel. I live in a home. I killed a roach yesterday in my house, and I have Orkin come there twice a month. So when you talk about roaches in Florida, that may be very horrifying to someone from New Jersey or Las Vegas or Boston, but it's not unheard of. They're very indestructible. But here again, we're talking about things that happened many years ago, and it would have been very helpful to cross-examine those individuals. So all these are concerns that I had wanted to address you to, in order to give validity to these proceedings, to avoid them being what I was afraid would become either a Roman circus or would become a dress rehearsal and publication and publicizing in local and national media of Mr. Flynn's lawsuits, which are now pending against the church. Matter of fact, as you went through the items of testimony, I looked at my notes concerning my knowledge, although I do not represent the church in any other matters except the tax case and these proceedings. I noticed that many of the matters that he talked about are now being litigated under proper rules of procedure in lawsuits throughout the nation. The alleged misuse of the confessional folder, sometimes referred to as the auditing file, it's a part of the sacrament of the church, is the use of confessionals. Whether you call it auditing or confessionals, that's a matter of interpretation or a matter of semantics. The alleged misuse is being litigated in the Van Schaik case in Boston, the McLean suit in Tampa, the Burden suit in Tampa, the suits in Los Angeles, of which Mr. Bunch is attorney, but what Mr. Flynn is working closely with him. The matters of the fair game doctrine, which is not a doctrine of the church today, as you've received testimony, is being litigated in all of the 27 suits filed by Mr. Flynn. The matter of the children's education is being litigated in the Burden case. The Burden case is right across the bay in Tampa. And that will be litigated under proper rules of procedure and under the rules of cross-examination to bring out the true facts of what is the situation concerning these Scientology children. The alleged fraud in the background of Mr. Hubbard, that's being litigated in Boston in the Van Schaik case, which is pending right now in Boston, also in the Los Angeles cases and in other cases. So all these matters that have been presented, they've had the effect in which the City of Clearwater Commission has unwittingly helped Mr. Flynn in giving the widest dissemination of his allegations against the church, and which undoubtedly will have an effect upon the juries and others who hear these cases, because they will have been preconditioned by this matter that's gone before the commission in the fashion in which it's come before the commission. I also had concerns, which I had hoped to talk to you about the objectivity of the commission. I had read the numerous resolutions of the commission in which you had called upon various groups, such as the Congress of the United States, the Justice Department, the legislature of the state of Florida, to investigate the Church of Scientology. I read the resolution which you offered to be a part of a suit against Scientology, the city of Clearwater, and offer your support. So I was naturally concerned about the objectivity of the commission. Even in the most heinous criminal case, and my practice is such that I understand criminal procedure, I have tried a number of criminal cases on both sides, both as state attorney and as defense attorney. Even the most heinous criminal case, the defendant has a presumption of innocence. The defendant has a right of due process. He has a right to a fair hearing before an impartial trier of fact, presented by a prosecutor who does not have any conflict of interest, who does not have a personal interest in the outcome of the case. Unfortunately, my concern was that this would not be afforded the Church of Scientology. And after viewing, first appearing here initially, and to make what I thought was an agreement to make an opening statement, which I felt would be helpful to you, and I want it to be made very clear, since it has not been carried in the newspaper, the media, that I was not at all critical of Mr. Buston. I understood us to have an agreement, that he understood it differently. He's an honorable man, well-respected, and I know he believes what he understood. But I understood us to have an agreement I would be allowed to make an opening statement. And I appeared for that purpose, to do the things and to tell the things that I've told you about today, which I think would have given validity to these proceedings and would have helped you. If your purpose, is to see if there's needed legislation, well, then what I would have proposed would have given validity to these hearings. But I did not have that opportunity, and it comes a little late now. So I guess in summary, what I'm saying is that I believe in the American judicial system. I've been a part of it for many years. I believe in the fact that when we receive testimony, you receive it in a certain fashion so that you will scrutinize it carefully to make sure there's not the result of some bias or interest or prejudice, and that the trier of fact has a right to go into the details to ascertain the reliability of this testimony. So I believe in the American judicial system, and I don't believe that under the rules that you have laid out, under the procedure which we has been announced in this case, and after viewing the tapes of what has actually occurred in this proceeding, and after hearing the questions by the commissioners, which includes such questions as, would you classify this as Gestapo-like conduct coming from the mouth of one of the triers of fact, suggesting that the conduct of the Church of Scientology was Gestapo-like? I don't think that I want to submit myself or submit my client to be tried in an atmosphere of this type. And I, for the reasons I have given you, I respectfully decline to present any testimony before you. And the Church of Scientology will try their cases against Mr. Flynn in the courts under proper rules of evidence. And I will continue trying our case against you, which we're litigating under proper rules of evidence. But I don't intend to be a part of these proceedings because I don't think we'll be afforded a fair hearing.
Mr. Johnson, would you like to converse at all about some of the rules?
Are you open to questions?
I've made my statement.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Appreciate your appearance here today.
I would appreciate if you'd presented some
Charlie,
proof of background.
Willie, out of the
room. You know, I got six hops on the floor.
Oh, I was, yeah.
How do you find what's in there?
I'll take 5 minutes so that the Mr. Johnson and his firm leave the hearings and that the media may talk to Mr. Johnson if they so desire. We'll be back within 5 or 10 minutes. Then we will go forward with the summation by Michael Flynn, the Clearwater City's consultant.
Why don't we take a brief break?
We are. We're going to take a 5 or 10 minute break.